Now, to meet the minimum requirements for ADS-B out, you need three things: a rule compliant GPS receiver, a 1090 megahertz extended squitter, or a 978 megahertz universal access transceiver, and an antenna. You can buy just these things, or you can integrate them with other technologies and other capabilities. We've done a lot of work to certify a whole range of products, and companies are responding. Thousands of GA aircraft owners have already equipped with ADS-B out, and I thank you for doing that. The experimental community is often at the forefront of adopting advanced technology, and you're helping us by flagging difficulties that you're seeing that you may have encountered with equipage so far. Now, we are tracking the installations to date, and we've encountered some problems with improper avionics installations, as well as some system software configurations. We want to fix these problems and fix them soon. And so we're providing a free service where we will verify ADS-B out avionics performance for you. Just email us and ask us to check your equipment, and we can do that. We search a database of flight tracks that we keep at our technical center in Atlantic City, New Jersey, and what we can see from testing these flight tracks is whether you're transmitting correctly. We've set up a dedicated email account, and last month we checked about 300 aircraft, helping owners to fix issues. You might also want to visit the ADS-B booth at the FAA Safety Center. They have the email address, and they can actually, in many instances, check it out for you right then, and you can take a look and see how it's doing. Now, equipage for ADS-B brings pilots many advantages. We now have ADS-B coverage in remote areas where radar coverage was quite limited before, such as in the Gulf of Mexico, mountainous regions in Colorado, and low-altitude airspace in Alaska. And what this does is it makes flying safer. Of course, consistent with radar coverage we have today, we also have ADS-B coverage here in the northern part of the country, the Dakotas and the parts of the northern Great Plains. Now, ADS-B enables us to determine an aircraft's location with far greater accuracy than radar. This highly precise surveillance is improving our ability to perform life-saving search and rescue operations. Air traffic controllers have better information today about an airplane's last position, helping to take the search out of search and rescue. Now that we've completed the nationwide installation of these transceivers, ADS-B is bringing free weather and traffic updates to the cockpit from coast to coast. There's no cost to subscribe, and this service had been available in select areas before, but now we truly have nationwide coverage. ADS-B delivers information about hazardous weather to the cockpit, and it brings important flight information, such as temporary flight restrictions or notices to airmen. It also enables general aviation pilots for the first time to see much of what air traffic controllers see. Cockpit displays show the location of aircraft in the sky all around you, creating an environment of shared situational awareness that, as we all know, enhances safety. When everyone is ADS-B compliant, it will truly be a different world. Now, many GA pilots are already employing the benefits of GPS, and specifically the advantages of WAAS-LPV. If you're thinking of equipping for WAAS, vendors are already selling rule-compliant ADS-B out equipment in a package with WAAS GPS receivers. Already, more than 74,000 GA aircraft of all types are equipped to be able to use WAAS-LPV approaches. That includes nearly 70,000 recreational and sport GA aircraft. This is a huge benefit that NextGen brings to the GA community. WAAS brings better and more reliable access to smaller airports that may not have an instrument landing system, for example, Half Moon Bay Airport that is south of San Francisco. WAAS also improves access to airports that do have an ILS, but you can't use it, perhaps because the wind has changed and you need to come in from the other end of the runway. If you have to go to an opposite runway end, WAAS-LPV can get you in. It provides a vertically guided approach that allows you to fly into airports in poor weather conditions with minimums as low as 200 feet. It's very similar to a Category 1 ILS approach. With WAAS, The accuracy of the GPS signal is improved from about 20 meters to about 2 meters in both the horizontal and the vertical dimensions. Now, an advantage of using WASP LPV is that the signal is much more stable. Also, you don't have to watch out for the critical areas off the runway that protect the ILS. And it improves your ability to file for IFR to an airport with no ILS, or to designate the airport as an alternate. Also, for those airports that do have an ILS, sometimes it's down due to construction, but WASP LPV is essential to get you in. Now, we've been steadily working for the last 10 years to bring you this next-gen benefit. These approaches are at 1,676 airports across the country, available to you right now. Airports such as Fort Myers, Florida, Martha's Vineyard, Fulton County Airport, and Charlie Brown Field west of Atlanta. We published more than 3,400 WASP LPV approaches to runway ends across the country. That's more than 2.5 times the number of ILS procedures that we have nationwide, and we're not done. We intend to develop another 270 WASP LPV approaches in the next 3 years, including at places like Newcastle, Delaware, Muscatine, Iowa, and Conway, Arkansas. This represents a significant improvement in safety and efficiency for GA pilots, and it's all thanks to NextGen. Now, in addition to adding new procedures across the country, we also worked very hard to streamline our certification process for GA safety equipment. I want to share with you the efforts the FAA has made to cut red tape and to really improve the experience of GA pilots in several areas. First, we've simplified the design approval process for angle of attack indicators to make it easier for GA pilots to install this safety device on older aircraft. Now, what this means is that it's less expensive for the manufacturers to make this important safety device. There's less paperwork involved. A large percentage of the cost of an aircraft part is solely the cost of documenting the way the company made it. We've streamlined that and brought down the price of an angle of attack indicator from about $6,000 to $1,500 or less. The indicator can now be installed as a minor alteration, which also helps make it less costly. I really encourage those of you with older model aircraft to install this life-saving device. Just last week, we issued an information for operators, or an info, that highlights the advantages of using an angle of attack indicator. Loss of control, mainly stalls, accounted for 40% of fatal GA accidents over the last decade. The angle of attack indicator tells you how much lift you have under your wings, and it can help you discern if you're about to stall. Now, there are different kinds of indicators, but many of those for GA, for examples, like the one in the military, they show green, yellow, and red. Green is good. Now, if we can save just one life by avoiding a loss of control accident, it's well worth it. So please consider adding this important safety equipment to your aircraft if you haven't already. Second, I wanted to share with you a new draft advisory circular that encourages an additional qualified pilot to ride an amateur-built aircraft for Phase 1 flight testing. The comment period for this circular ended a few days ago, and we'll be reviewing all of the comments. Now, the final advisory circular can significantly enhance the safety of experimental aircraft testing by having an expert ride with you. Many times the pilot who built the aircraft may not have had prior experience in flying that type of aircraft. And it's exactly during the testing phase when it makes sense to have a pilot who's more familiar with the aircraft accompany you. This best practice guidance is an example of the FAA and EAA really working together to make things better for the experimental aircraft community. And third, we're also improving the testing and training for certification of airmen. The new airman certification standards was developed by industry in partnership with the FAA and will improve airman testing and training in ways that benefit everyone. The basics are not changing, but the material is presented in a better way. We're integrating standards for aeronautical knowledge and risk management into flight proficiency skills. The new standards will be the only necessary reference for both knowledge as well as skill. Now, to be clear, the standards are not changing. Check rides are not changing. The material is simply being presented in a better way. This effort represents a great partnership, and we deeply appreciate the industry's strong commitment to working with us on this. As always, the FAA's number one mission is, of course, safety. It's everyone's job at the FAA, and we appreciate very much the professionalism that all of you display. It's the dedication to detail day in and day out that makes such a huge difference in safety. This year, as you've seen, we're asking pilots to think about the weather when they think about safety. Earlier this year, we launched our Got Weather campaign with our GA partners, EAA and AOPA, along with NBAA, the NTSB, NOAA, and many others. And we launched it in Anchorage, Alaska, a place that is no stranger to difficult weather conditions. You can check it out at faa.gov/go/gotweather. We have a very simple premise behind the program. While terrain, model type, and pilot experience may vary, the one thing that should unite all pilots is respect for the weather. Nearly 75% of weather-related GA accidents are fatal. And that's according to AOPA. So we're focusing on a new topic each month between now and the end of the year. In June, the focus was turbulence. This month, we're looking at flying IFR. Knowing what you're flying into, and with summer flying, that means thunderstorms. Next month, we're looking at instrument meteorological conditions. Well, what we're looking at is if you fly into them and you don't mean to, which is actually a common cause of accidents. As we all know, the fatal accident rate for GA has remained relatively flat for the last 5 years. I think we'd all agree that we're still not where we want to be. This year, we are down below our not to exceed rate by about 10 accidents so far. But we can't be content with this. We can't rest on our laurels. We all need to work together as a GA community in order to continue to enjoy great skies for many years to come. Now, right now, before I'd close, I'd like to take a minute to recognize some very important people that we have in the audience today. They're experts in safety, and they serve as role models to others. And they're the winners of this year's General Aviation Awards. These folks join a distinguished group of aviation professionals who've won the award over the years here at AirVenture. I'd like to acknowledge them. I know there's going to be a ceremony later today, but I'm told that I'm not stealing anyone's thunder because they all know they've won the awards. But I did want to give a shout out to these people for you, for all of you, so that you recognize them as leaders in aviation safety. So if you're here, when I recognize you, would you please stand up? The winner of the Certificated Flight Instructor of the Year Award is Howard William Wolvington of Issaquah, Washington. Is Howard here? There he is. The Aviation Maintenance Technician of the Year winner is Mark Lord Burnett of Rockville, Tennessee. Mark? Or Max. I'm sorry, Max. From Guilford, Connecticut, you have the winner of the Avionics Technician of the Year Award, David Kasak. Where's David? And last but not least, the FAA Safety Team Representative of the Year is Richard Stoll of McCall, Idaho. Where's Richard? Okay. Well, congratulations to all of you. You are truly outstanding leaders in furthering the cause of aviation safety.